American media is a business, and it has a mission. Not to inform Americans, but to entertain them.
You know, there's happy news for happy people with happy problems.
And the business leaders said that they had to renew with vigor what they called the everlasting battle for the minds of men and indoctrinate citizens with a capitalist story.
Global corporations feeding us the news as they see fit.
Truth is subversive. It's anti-American.
Americans have computers in school, dozens of TV stations, and the most aggressive news media on Earth. Does that mean they're better informed? Hardly.
And now, for Newsreel, here's Sean Kennedy.
Well, light up the incense and fire up the bong, because it's time for Newsreel. Good day, this is Sean Kennedy reporting you from the internet for Thursday, March 10th, 2005. This is Newsreel, your source for independent media and news that will give you the edge against the core political tyranny that is, in fact, trying to enslave you. You can read the news stories along with me by going to my live journal. You know it'll be time to turn the page when you hear me say, I've got to eat all the pills before the ghosts get me. Getting straight into some feedback today. Dear Sean, fucking man. I love these Swedish emails. Sean, fucking man, what about chemtrails? By the way, we see these over here in the Netherlands, Belgium, and France as well, on sunny days, that is. I might have missed you mentioning it before, then I apologize. I hope you keep doing Newsreel. We here in Amsterdam like it. Jolt. Well, I'm very pleased that you like it over there in Amsterdam, Jolt, because I like Amsterdam too. Amsterdam was the first place I ever actually got to see a real live dyed-in-the-wool junkie. Yes, it was a lot like 28 Days Later. If you want to know what junkies look like, if those of you who live in the rural areas of the world who's never actually seen a full-fledged junkie, rent any George A. Romero sort of zombie film, kind of get away the blood. Well, sometimes a little bit of blood, but only from, like, the nose and stuff. Paint them, like, totally gray. Like, imagine the whole thing filmed in black and white. As a matter of fact, if you get the original Day of the Dead, it is in black and white. And that is what junkies look like, except for the fat zombies. They're skinny, skinny zombies. That's pretty much what junkies look like. But bottom line, very happy that you're listening, first of all, in the Netherlands. That gets me hot. Second of all, what about chemtrails? I don't know about the chemtrails thing because I don't have enough information about it. I was talking to CyberTech the other night. He's one of my buddies who's pretty high up in Microsoft, actually. He's now climbing the ladder pretty good there. Soon we will be able to reveal ourselves. But no, seriously, I was talking to him, and he was saying that how everyone feels like they have to have an opinion on everything, which is cool. I mean, you have the right to an opinion on everything, but a lot of people have opinions on shit they have no idea anything about. You know, there's a lot of people who know very little about the army, very little about the military, and, you know, they got all these opinions about how horrible it is or how good it is or not. I firmly, you know, you have the right to your opinion. Don't get me wrong. I think that everyone has a right to their opinion, but I think that you should, before you make an opinion, just as, like, friendly, you know, fatherly advice, maybe you should learn something about the subject before you have an opinion on it, rather than just taking the pre-digested bullshit. This is all a concept of checksumming, by the way. This is entirely what the whole checksum thing is about. So I don't know much about chemtrails. It sounds crazy to me. When I first heard of it, I'm like, what the fuck, man? There's always, like, you know, those little streams that follow behind jets. That's just the way it is, right? Right? But apparently not. I guess they're saying that there's all sorts of shit being sprayed in the atmosphere and stuff like that to control the people, which, of course, sounds insane. You know, that's like getting near the tinfoil hat crowd kind of material there. But no. Apparently, there's something going on with the whole chemtrail jobby. I'm not too sure what that's about. Maybe if someone could give me a single comprehensive site based on this, I could do a little bit of research. Or someone could do the research for me, which would be better, to be honest, because I still haven't got my long feedbacks yet. People, you know, it's been so great. Everyone's been sending me email, and if it's longer than a paragraph, you're like, I'm sorry, it's long, but I have to talk to you, which is okay. I don't mind. As long as you expect that if you send a larger email, don't expect, and if I'm, and you don't get a, like, a one of my typical cool man responses, then you want to bear in mind that I've probably kept it, and I'm going to respond to it when I get time. The bin of when I get time. Once you're cast into the when I get time bin, that's like the round to it. You know, you have the round to it bin, and if you get the round to it, then eventually you'll get to that bin. But, you know, hey, I do try. So sorry, man, I don't know shit about chemtrails. But I am beginning to wonder a little bit more. Maybe I'm listening to too much Coast to Coast. Maybe, you know, I'm filling my head with all these crazy ideas. But it seems like there's an awful lot of shit going on in the world that nobody's talking about. And I don't mean just the regular news report site stuff. I mean, you know, there seems to be an awful lot of people talking about alien abductions. You know, I used to just think it was a bunch of trailer hicks down in, you know, some, you know, park somewhere who got some bad acid, and all of a sudden, you know, they're talking about gray aliens and shit. But apparently there's, like, some really, you know, high-up muckety-muck motherfuckers who are all down with the whole alien thing. Like, you know, I've got a couple books kicking around here because I've got a problem. You know, I just buy books. Are you like that, you know? Do you go out and buy books even though you're not done reading the ones you have, and you've got a to-read list that could probably sink most fucking freighters? You know, you've got, like, a stack of books beside your bed that you're never, ever going to get to. You know, it reminds me of that scene in Exorcist 3 where the guy goes into the doctor's office and he's got all those newspapers stacked up all around his office. He says, I just haven't got a chance to read them yet. You know, that's kind of where I'm going with this. It's getting a little freaky. I guess my output doesn't really... I'm not getting so much input because I'm getting everything digitally and it has to come to me fast. Otherwise, I don't have time to process it because I'm trying to, you know, do the output, get the show done and everything. So anyway, I'm just saying that I'm one of those people who buy books. And maybe you're one of those people too. And I think that that's not a bad thing. You know, just buy books. Load them up. And then, you know, when the end of the world comes and there's rapture happening and you don't know what else to do because you're hiding in your house, we can read. It's a good plan. But anyway, on to some more mail. I got some hate mail, which is big for me. I don't get a lot of hate mail. I don't think I've ever gotten any hate mail, to be honest with you. And it's not really hate mail, but give me this. You know, it's kind of hate mail. It might be all of us. It might be WOG hate mail. I don't know. So I got this weird email. It says, wasn't even Dear Sean or anything. I was listening to your station. It's my station now, so I've got official confirmation. I was just listening to your station, and I thought it was hilarious. That's good. I'm a registered independent. What the hell does that mean? Is that like you're a candidate, or you're like a member of the independent movement, or you're actually, you know, a mutant called independent, and you've registered with the Mutant Registration Act? What the fuck is that? I'm a registered independent, period. I think it's hilarious that you liberals are still going off on the president. Okay. One thing you guys need is a life. And that's, now, I'm getting his name from the email here, so it's Traver, T-A-R-V-E-R, Streepers, S-T-R-E-E-P-E-R. Now, I fucking threw his name in Google to see, you know, if there was a chance this guy could have been, like, some weird Southern State hick, you know, kind of dude, but I can't find this guy anywhere. I'm just like, well, if he's a registered independent, he's sure as shit not registered, you know, through any electronic medium. Maybe he scratched his name on a wall in some cave somewhere, and now he's registered with planet Earth. Maybe Gaia has registered him, and he is, you know, this agent to destroy liberals of the world or something. Which I think it's really, really funny, because you get, you know, every time I go off about, like, the death penalty and shit like that, I've got all the lefties going, Sean, you're horrible. Oh, my God, you're a war hawk, blah, 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 blah. You know, I start talking about shooting pedophiles. Everybody gets excited. And then, you know, when I go off about how, you know, the presidential election in 9/11 was bullshit... you know, I get the other side going, oh, you know, you're a liberal, and everyone wants to put you in a box. You know, I'm kind of getting past that whole categorization pigeonhole. You know, I'm not a droid, and neither are you. I don't think anybody should force themselves to belong to a political party. I think that's kind of fucking nuts. I think you should just go with what makes sense. You know, if you were to address every problem, and instead of going with a pat answer every time, it's more work. You know, it's much more work to actually, you know, break out the thought engine, break out the difference engine, and just go through every single problem with a fresh set of ideals, working with your personal guidelines, and then make a decision based on that. Yeah, that requires effort versus just, no, I disagree, I toe the party line. You know, that's just an interesting thought. But anyway, I was excited because I got some hate mail, and I'm happy about that. Got another piece of mail here. Hey, Sean, this is short, but I just thought I'd throw it your way. Friday, I was driving somewhere for work, and I passed a white van with tinted windows and blue and white lights on the top. On the side, it read, Department of Homeland Security. It didn't have a phone number or anything. This is just a small town, not a city. It kind of blew my mind. Just thought I'd let you know. That was Turtle. Yeah, they're everywhere, eh? They're starting to spread out, looking for subversives like you, Turtle. Reporting what you saw to me on the internet. Are you insane? You could get yourself, you know, I don't know, documented or something. Bruce of the Five Ronin sent me a message about trends, which I thought was kind of interesting. Over 2 years ago on the SK show, you had a section on an act that took the names of every high school student into consideration. You could opt out of the registry if you knew about it. So if you listened to the show, you could opt out of the registry. And it was called the No Child Left Behind. Now, I can't remember last Thursday, never mind 2 years ago. But, you know, because I get this data, and, you know, I data dump it afterwards, you know, binge and purge, right? That's how information works for me. And he says here... Now, suddenly, after the No Child Left Behind a couple years ago, you've got the draft arising. Things take their time, don't they? Bruce of the Five Ronins. Yeah, that's very, very cool. I never really thought of that, a tie-in between the draft and the No Child Left Behind thing. Because, you know, Every parent's going to want their No Child Left Behind. No Child Left Behind for what? No Child Left Behind for the war? We wouldn't want to leave anybody back. You know, I want to be the first guy on my box. To have my kids sent home in a box. You know, you ever notice that I actually completely drop words all the time? I've done it ever since I was on Rant Radio. I know I do it. It's a pain in the ass. And the funny thing is once you start doing this kind of stuff and you record yourself on the radio, I can barely listen to myself. You know, I like the newsreel. I can't watch myself. You know, like, I don't listen to the news show because, I choose all the stories and stuff, so it'd be kind of a waste of an hour of my time. But quite often, you know, when I listen to old shows, I'll hear where I dropped a word, and I just keep on barreling through it. And I know everybody knows I do it, and I thank you very much for not crucifying me on that. But what freaks me out is I'm listening to the CBC. I'm listening to just a local news channel here in Vancouver, and there's a lot of radio DJs that are doing the same thing, and they're worse than me. Which kind of makes me feel all puffy-chested. You know, at first I felt really bad for him. I'm like, dude, you know, wow, you know, I really kick your ass at this. You know, which is a horrible thing to say, but everybody knows that. You know, if you ride BMX and you know you're better than somebody else, you go, wow, I kick his ass. And that's, you know, something that you say in your inside voice, not your outside voice. Otherwise, you get called an egotistical fuck. But regardless, I'm listening to the news, and I listen to these guys, you know, and they're stumbling over their words, you know, and they repeat themselves and stuff. And I think the trick to radio and broadcasting for all of you out there is to just, you know, first of all, you can't give too much of a shit right off the top. Two, you've got to make it fun and entertaining. Otherwise, you turn into Noam Chomsky. God love him. God love him. I love Noam Chomsky. But if ever you have problems, not sleeping, throw on a Noam Chomsky seminar, and buddy, you'll be racked out in no time. Bad dreams, though, but you'll be racked out in no time. The guy needs to learn a little bit about tone, pitch, and intonation. But other than that, I love Noam. Don't get me wrong. But I'd rather get, you know, Noam Chomsky's brain and put it in, like, Jello Biafra's body. I think that'd be great, you know, so we can have that great throat warbling all everywhere. So thanks again to Bruce of the Five Ronins for sending that in about, you know, these are trends that we have to look at. This is what the WOGs do, man. So on to news. Illegal body modification. Now, this is an interesting story because I don't know if I agree with the concept of illegal body modification. See, every time you look at it, you got to discover, you know, what's more important. The individual or the state, right? Now, this is a hard one. These are hard fucking questions that we don't ask. You know, what's more important, the individual or the state? You know, is the group more important than the individual? Because if the individual, you got to be careful, because if you start declaring the individual to be the ultimate and, like, everyone is their own god kind of a thing and no one has to adhere to any rules, then no one has the right to enforce any laws on any other people of any kind. So in order to cohabitate with an existence and have, like, a society and we have technology, we all have to have some unifying force. There has to be something that unifies us. Now, when you have laws that come into place, these laws are supposed to apply so that, you know, you don't harm the greater good of all. This is kind of the idea. And this is where things get sticky because people decide, you know, on the moral values and the greater good of all and all the rest of it. But if it's illegal body modification to yourself, I think you should be allowed to do whatever you want to your body. You know, I'm a pro-choice person. I'd like to think of myself probably as libertarian, you know, if you were going to pigeonhole me. So I don't agree with this particular piece of legislation here. Some U.S. lawmakers want to make sure the twinkle in your eye doesn't come from jewelry. Repulsed by body modification offered at a Dutch institute where tiny metal hearts and half moons are surgically embedded into the whites of the eye. Fuck. One lawmaker has proposed banning the practice in Illinois. A House committee Thursday approved legislation that would make it a felony to implant jewelry in someone's eye. Fuck me. Okay, first of all, you'd have to really sell me to get you to drive some hot fucking piece of steel into my eye. I'm probably not hot, but you know what I'm saying. I don't think anybody should be messing with the eyeball, Democratic Republican Kevin Joyce said Friday. You know, can I get that on a t-shirt? I don't think anybody should be messing with the eyeball. Well, you know, that's a pretty big statement. The procedure involves making a tiny slice in the membrane covering the eye and slipping a small, flat piece of metal inside the flap. The result is a shiny shape in the white of the eye, and the procedure was performed under local anesthetic. Dr. Janet Carrilla, assistant professor of medicine at Southern Illinois University, said he was concerned about the possibility of infection and other damage. No shit, it's your eyes. Risks that would last as long as a person kept the jewelry in the eye. It's not like piercing the skin, he said. Well, no kidding. That's a scary concept. I don't know about you, but you know, even this laser surgery thing, I know there's a lot of people out there that are all into this laser surgery, but, you know, do the checks on, man. There's a lot of people who have failures. There's a lot of fucked up shit, and a lot of doctors are saying that, you know, if you get laser surgery once, you're going to need to do it again. So I think I'll wait for a few years and see what's going on. I'm not in a big rush. I'm not, you know, really crazy concerned about whether or not I wear glasses. Maybe, you know, if I get notification the bomb's going to drop and all the optometrists are going to die, then yeah, you know, I'll book an appointment, drop in there and go get my eyes burned out. But, you know, there are, of course, with my luck, it'd be a fuck up and I'd be one of those guys now blind in, you know, the afternoon, wandering around with a sword. Zatoichi much? But anyway. Getting on to Canada's Big Brother Online. Now, Canada generally, no one really knows shit about Canada's legal policy. Do you? I don't. I'd like to find a place where I could learn more about Canada's legal policy. Because generally, we're kind of a Commonwealth janitor nation that sucks up to either England. We used to suck England's cock. Now we suck American cock. Which is fine. You know, I like Americans. They're nice people. You know? But it'd be nice if we had a country that, you know, kind of stood on its own a little bit more. And like, you know, they did that a crazy step with this missile defense plan. I was blown away that they turned that down. You know, that they didn't get involved with that. To be honest with you, I'm like, wow, there's almost like hope here. And if it wasn't for guys like Stephen Harper, he's the leader of our local, he would be the equivalency of the Republicans down in the state. Stephen Harper is the head in Canada, and he's the guy who's like, yes, we need God and guns and government. That's his whole shtick. Which, you know, if he gets in, you know, he's going to ramp the military the fuck up. And the liberal leader guy, Paul Martin, he's, you know, he's a little bit more namby-pamby. You know, nice guy. You know, definitely into a lot more social programs and shit like that. But, of course, they're all, you know, corrupt in that they all, you know, suck big business dick. But, you know, that's pretty much the Canadian political system right now. We have a prime minister, not a president. And we have this real crazy House of Commons. It's very, very legalese. There's certain advantages to it over the American system. I don't know enough about it to make a big, you know, deal about it. However, we got a new Big Brother policy coming in, which is a little scary. During the internet boom of the late 1990s, Nortel Networks ran an advertising campaign that featured the slogan, "What do you want the internet to be?" The implications were obvious. Were they? The internet was technology of unlimited possibility that could be whatever we wanted it to be. More than 5 years later, Nortel's vision is becoming a reality. The internet has become so essential that everyday lives of millions of people, a pillar of communication, information, entertainment, education, and commerce, that at times it seems the internet really is anything we want it to be. Well, notwithstanding the internet's remarkable potential, there are dark clouds on the horizon. There are some who see a very different internet. Theirs is an internet with ubiquitous surveillance, featuring real-time capabilities to monitor on-time activities. This is an internet that views third-party applications such as Vonage Voice over IP service as parasitic. It is an internet which is virtually all content should come at a price, even when content is made freely available. It is an internet that would seek to cut off subscriber access based on mere allegations of wrongdoing without due process or oversight from a judge or jury. This is the internet of, you know, Dark City. This is the cyberpunk internet, you know, and eventually if you start making more of these laws, people already have access to the internet and you start fucking doing shit, we're just going to go underground. Nice try. This disturbing vision of the internet is not fantasy. It's based on real policy proposals being considered by Canadian government. Leading the way in the Federal Communications Lawful Access Initiative. While the term lawful access sounds innocuous, the program, which dates back to 2002, represents law enforcement's desire to remake Canada's networks to allow for lawful interception of all private communications. This is scary. If lawful access becomes reality, Canada's telecommunications service provider, TSBs, will be required to refit their networks to allow for real-time interception of communications. Wow. Fuck carnivore. We've got it, you know, hardwired in there. To have the capability of simultaneously intercepting multiple transmissions and providing detailed subscriber information to law enforcement authorities without a court order within 72 hours. Well, on the upside, at least the local RCMP will be getting some news worth a damn if they check into the show. Hello, all my law enforcement brethren out there. Moreover, Canada's service providers will be suspect to inspections and required to provide the government with reports of the technical capabilities of their networks. These activities will be shrouded in secrecy, with service providers facing fines up to $500,000 or a sentence up to 5 years in jail for failing to keep the data collection confidential. So, if you tell people we're getting data collection, we'll give you 5 years in prison for talking about what we do. Isn't that creative? You've got to love that shit. Now, remember yesterday when I was talking about how, you know, the Cattlemen's Association paid for that vegan thing where they said being a vegan's unethical, blah, blah, blah? Okay, well, it seems that that's pretty standard bear. When you check out these studies now, and here's a piece of checksumming advice. If ever you get a study thrown at you, make sure you check out who did the study and who paid for it. It seems that the link between secondhand smoke and sudden infant death has been discredited in the last few years, according to scientific articles paid for and influenced by cigarette manufacturers, according to a new study of once secret industry documents. This is from Eureka Alert, which is a scientific breakthrough site. The key article, commissioned by Philip Morris, a big smoke maker, and published in respected pediatric epidemiology journal in 2001, Baby Medicine, discounts the significance of research showing links between exposure to secondhand cigarette smoke and sudden infant death syndrome, SIDS. The article has been cited at least 19 other scientific papers, misleading physicians, their patients, and researchers about the risk of secondhand smoke exposure. Now, there are those who would argue, Sean, quite obviously, you know, everyone knows that smoking is bad. You don't smoke around babies. This is obviously, you know, just bullshit. But, you know, the point is that this kind of manipulation goes on, people. This is the kind of manipulation you have to be aware of. The tobacco company carried out this disinformation campaign even after the landmark 1998 settlements between all the U.S. major tobacco manufacturers and 46 states. Now, this was the shit you never heard nothing about because they went all off about the Unabomber. In the settlement, the tobacco firms agreed to pay the states $206 billion over the first 25 years and continuing amounts after that. And they agreed to stop creating controversy about the evidence linking smoking and disease. So they were running an active, you know, disinformation campaign. They've admitted it. And it seems like they're in violation of this court order. So, you know, why don't we move in on that? But, you know, this is just another classic example of the mythical war on terror. You know, realistically, you've got people killing babies. You've got drug companies that are putting drugs on people that are toxic. And if that's not terrorist enough for you, really, you know, you've got Monsanto, you know, putting farmers in jail for keeping seeds. You know, that's pretty fucking terrorist, if you ask me. I mean, you know, that's you know, Big Brother State. But, you know, hey, why don't we, let's go the other way. Why doesn't the United States do something about, say, oh, I don't know, organized crime? Wouldn't that count as terrorism in my books? Like, up here we got the Hells Angels. Isn't that terrorism? International organization of crime cartels exporting guns and drugs and, you know, generally just making life shitty for a lot of people. Aren't these people terrorists? Why don't, and people are like, well, you know what the belief is, of course. People go, well, no one wants to fuck with the Hells Angels because the Hells Angels got BC sewn up. Okay, they pretty much run the show here. You know, they just geeked the head of the Nomads, another motorcycle gang up in northern BC there, shot him a bunch of times, stuffed him in a burning house, and that's it for him. Really hard to get CSI in a big burnt fucking husk of charcoal. Now, last thing I want is a bunch of bikers show up at my house here to shoot me, but my point is it still has to be stated, that if there is actually a war on fucking terror, you know, why don't they go after the bikers? Oh, they're scared. They haven't got the resources. Okay, that's fine. You don't think we've got the resources to handle that. Okay, well, I would say that since the United States is running the war on terror, we'll just go with that. No, they won't do it because they haven't got the resources. Okay. In this corner, we have the Hells Angels motorcycle gang. A bunch of badass motherfuckers, to be sure. You know, not a lot of, you know, really deep-rooted ethics there. Not really bedtime story people. These are people that shoot people for fun. Okay? And that's in this corner. In the other corner, I'll just take a stab in the dark. I have the U.S. Army Rangers. Versus the Hells Angels. Fight. You know, I really think the Rangers are going to come out on top of that. So, you know, cut the shit. We obviously have the resources. You got the resources to fucking, you know, bomb the shit and occupy a chunk of sand, you know, across on the other side of the fucking planet. You mean to tell me you can't clean up the motorcycle gangs and organized crime in your own fucking country? Oh, that's right, because they have money, don't they? And they contribute money to a lot of these campaigns. This is why Hunter S. Thompson got his ass kicked when he started going off about Hells Angels and stuff like that. You see, I mean, you're not allowed to talk about these kinds of things, but, you know, spade's a spade, you know, realistically. And even though if the Hells Angels were to show up and fucking blow me away, I'd still be right. I mean, it wouldn't change the fact that I'm right. It would just change, you know, I'm not able to say anything else. So at which point, please, you know, download and distribute the archives. Now, for those of you who used to play Rifts, you know, in the Dungeons and Dragons, you know, role-playing game world, there was a class called the Juicer, which actually, when I was a kid, they asked me to do a self-portrait of myself in the future. This is a really funny one, and I've still got the drawing. Anyone's interested, I'll give it to Sim, but you'll have to ask Sim for me to give it to you. And I did a drawing of myself as a juicer as I saw myself when I was 14, and that's what I saw myself in the future as becoming. They said, you know, do a, you know, drawing of yourself in the future, typical kind of high school shit, and that's what I did. I drew myself up in the exact juicer pose with Wolverine claws and everything. It's not a bad little drawing. But it seems that now that sort of technology is getting more and more closer. To enhance the absorption of medicines, researchers are creating nanoparticles that can hook into the gut and thus stay longer, increasing drug uptake. Holy fuck, how crazy is this? For instance, Cinco, who's the dude who does it, Cinco noted, the herpes drug Valtrex and the AIDS drug Retrovir hook into the nutrient transporters in the intestines, giving them higher rates of absorption. Edible forms of nanotechnology could help make smart, programmable drinks and more effective drugs. How fucking wacko is that shit? If the prospect of edible nanotech sounds frightening, it's not about carving little robots for the use in food, physicist Anthony Dinsmore at the University of Massachusetts in Amherst told UPI. Instead, scientists are creating edible capsules with only nanometers or billionths of a meter in size to enhance food or medicine. Oh, that sounds friendly. We're creating nanoparticles that can assemble themselves, made from materials already found in foods. We're not talking about any exotic chemistry, Dinsmore said in his group's work. Well, he's trying to, you know, lay down the FUD, but, you know, if you can give me a cup of coffee that keeps me perked for 12 hours, you know, I'm down with that. Now, is anyone else noticing that there's some problems with Korea lately? Okay, anybody else kind of crewing in the fact that, you know, South Korea's got some shit going on over there? You know, they're talking about nukes, a lot of shit going on, that whole region of the world, a little scary. No one's really talking about it. People are talking about, you know, war and stuff, making little suns on the planet, getting a little worried about that. Well, there's a weird little story that cropped up. Samples taken from a South Korean pigs. Pigs, incidentally, are some of the closest animals for humans. And they've been able to do some organ swapping between the two of them, okay? So pigs aren't like, you know, bumblebees, okay? Pigs are pretty close to humans. Contain genes from a human flu virus created by scientists in 1933. Oh, really? So it's a man-made flu virus. And one American flu researcher says the sequence could represent a dangerous situation for humans. Now, this is the kind of story that immediately gets eaten up and then thrown away. So check out this link. Here we have confirmation that a man-made virus made in 1933 is now in some pigs. I'd like to follow this. The World Health Organization, which monitors worldwide spread of flu, is remaining mum. Isn't saying shit about this until researchers finish an investigation of the pig samples. Fair ball. Don't know what's going on. We're not going to say shit. The presence of man-made human flu virus in pigs may be worrisome for several reasons. First, a man-made virus has no business in fucking pigs. How did it get there? Did the virus get there naturally, or was it a lab accident? Yeah, an accident. Lots of pigs running around labs. You never know when they're going to eat something. More frighteningly, but less likely, was it bioterrorism? There's another scary concept, or bioterrorism research. Viruses often use pigs as a conduit to humans who would have been little or no immune resistance for this particular strain of flu since it has been exposed to it. Great. Let's stay away from the pork. In terms of flu, pigs have represented a danger to humans because these animals act as a mixing vessel for dangerous strains of influenza, said Dick Thompson, a spokesman for the World Health Organization. But WHO, who won't be convinced that the data is real, that the human sequences are not a result of laboratory contamination instead of a human virus in a pig until more laboratories can verify the samples. Okay, you want to make sure that your data's, you know, good. Henry Nieman, founder of Recombinomics, a researcher who has sleuthed the spread of the bird flu and is changing genetic makeup for the last 2 years, says their investigation is moving too slowly. Yeah, well, you know, this is pretty serious, so it probably should be on, you know, the fast track. If pigs in Korea are carrying man-made human flu, authorities should take action immediately from prevent it from spreading. Well, no shit. I mean, if they haven't quarantined it, yeah, I'd be like, oh, hey, there's a flu here. Well, just walk around a bit. They'll walk it off. No, I don't think so. I think we should isolate the pigs. Just sort of a thought here. And in Ohio, they're trying to get rid of eBay. Ohio residents selling goods on eBay will soon have to get a license or be bonded under the law, set to go into effect May 2nd, although authors of the legislation vow to make changes before that date to exempt individuals. But right now, there are no changes in place. Now, this is kind of a scary story in that, it means that you wouldn't be able to sell goods on eBay anymore. But eBay's a pretty big monkey these days, and there's a lot of commerce that happens there. So I don't think this will really come down. I think what they're trying to do is just tax people who sell online, and this is something that we want to look at because it's scary. Quote, it certainly will not apply to the casual seller on eBay, but might apply to anyone who sells a lot. This is something that State Senator Larry Mumper said. He said that if someone buys or sells on eBay on a regular basis as a type of business, there is a need for regulation. I don't think there is, actually. I just think that's like going over to Buddy's house and buying some shit. I mean, eBay has its own regulation for quality and stuff, The guy's a clown and he's selling stolen goods. He gets reported. Why does the government need to be involved there? Kathy Greer, senior editor of Unravel the Gravel, a newspaper covering the New England auction market, told The Plain Dealer that similar regulation efforts are underway in Tennessee and Illinois, but the past efforts have always been withdrawn or left unenforced due to public outcry over the restrictions. So if you're not too big on that sort of a thing, maybe you should get mobilized right about now and check out, you know, what's going on with the eBay laws, something you need to be alerted to. Now, Harvard Business School. Now, if you get a business degree from Harvard, your life is pretty much, you know, set. You're going to be one of the business corporatical types. Maybe you'll work for good. Maybe you'll work for evil. We don't know. One thing that has always pissed me off about fucking universities, especially big-name universities like Harvard and shit like that, is that with a flick of their wrist, one of these university profs can ultimately fuck up people's lives, like totally destroy individuals' lives, like just wreck them forever, you know, really, really destroy their lives, because without their education, they're done and their dreams can't be achieved. So it really upsets me that these profs have this much power and how they can fuck people over. It's infuriating, something nobody talks about. Now, there's a bunch of guys in Harvard, Well, listen to this here. Harvard Business School said on Tuesday it is rejecting applications for 119 would-be students it accused of hacking into a website to learn early if they were accepted before sending of official notifications. Okay? They accused these guys. I'd like to see what their confirmation is to make sure that 119 people aren't just getting fucked. And all they did was just try to get early notification. This behavior is unethical at best. From Harvard Business School. It's a serious breach of trust and cannot be countered by rationalization. Kim Clark, dean of Harvard Business School, said in a statement, "You know, Kim, why don't you show me the ethics in business? First of all, you should probably make sure these guys get in, because at least they had the intestinal foresight to try to figure out what the fuck was going on. But no, no, no. You're going to play the ethics card at a fucking business school? Are you out of your mind? Any applicant found to have done so will not be admitted to the school." You fucking cunt. Harvard said it knew the names of 119 applicants who tried to learn their admission status early using a security fly and an online college recruitment and application product called Apply Yourself. Well, dude, you're the one with the fucking piece of security flaw. Don't go busting on the kids because they just wanted to get in early. Doesn't that show that they're probably, you know, pretty keen? Jim Eisner, a spokesman for the Ivy League University's business school, declined to say how many of the 119 would have been accepted if the school had not peaked. Well, isn't that nice? I'd like to find out what the economic status is on this. This is a bullshit fucking statement. You're going to destroy these kids' lives because they wanted to take an early look at a piece of software that has security flaws that you didn't fix? The intrusions came as business schools across America place more emphasis on ethics following a wave of Wall Street accounting scandals. Yeah, that'll make a difference. Yeah, you bet. Yeah, you bet. You teach more ethics in the school, and when they hit the real world, because, you know, obviously what they learn in school is applied to the real world. No. Are you fucking people in these schools so totally disconnected from reality that you honestly believe that teaching ethics in the schools is going to fix the fucking financial market and capitalism? How insane are you? They hit the ground, they're green as grass, they don't know shit, they're going to wind up getting locked in with the old school guys who are cutthroat, and they will be retrained back to the cutthroat method. Cut the crap. Don't come to me with your band-aid fucking solution here trying to tell me, you know, that's totally pissing on your back and telling you it's raining. We teach ethics in school, so it's going to transcend to the business world. Harvard's Clark said the school's mission was to educate principled leaders with high integrity, sound judgment, and a strong moral compass. As intuitive sense of what is right and wrong. Dude, it's business. No one gives a shit about what's right and wrong. If anything, looking around the world right now will tell you it is that. What's the solution? Well, it's definitely not going to be teaching more ethics in fucking school, and it sure as shit isn't going to be just banning kids because they were curious about whether or not they were accepted. Those who have hacked into this website have failed to pass that test, Clark said. They failed, eh? So, you know, that's good. I'd be more keen to have these guys in my business because they got the fucking job done. Last week, an individual exposed the Apply Yourself security flaw on an online message board that showed readers how to access records at some of the most prestigious U.S. business schools to see if they were accepted. Wow. So why didn't you just, you know, fix the flaw? Bullshit. God damn, that stuff pisses me off, you know, because I was never, well, you know, I probably could have done something like that, but whatever. I admire people who go to, like, these schools, you know, who actually make it into these schools. Because I think that, quite honestly, from universities and stuff like that, if you're in school and you can get to be a lawyer or a doctor, you can make a real difference. You know, we need more good people out there. And the kind of people that are into these news groups and message boards, these are our people. These are WOGs. And they just wanted to see if they got into the school. It's not like they were stealing money. They just wanted to find out. And now you're going to completely fuck their world? Nice one. Nice one. You just go to bed at night. Fuck. You know, you want to talk about ethics and you pull that shit. Drop the fucking cookies. A Long Island, New York man was ticketed in Brooklyn, New York for selling Girl Scout cookies with his 13-year-old daughter. The man, Hoy Lewis, was in Williamsburg delivering cookies with his daughter over the weekend. The man told the New York Post it was his old neighborhood before he moved, and he and his daughter have been selling Girl Scout cookies ever since there, since his daughter was in the first grade. At 4:05 p.m., Saturday, police captain and a uniformed officer pulled up in their van as they were unloading cookies. Lewis told the Post that the captain from the 94th Precinct ticketed the man for selling cookies without a license. The NYPD says the man and his daughter were not delivering the cookies, but instead were selling the cookies from a table they had set up on the street. These are sealed cookies. What's the fucking difference? The child's grandmother, who was in the van, said her granddaughter was frightened by the police, and the girl's father was flabbergasted. No shit. But, you know, we can't have any business. No money must change hands. We want your fucking soul, man. We want your soul. Your daughter has got to, you know, make sure she regulates. She's got to make sure she complies with all the local licensing. Is she licensed to sing Happy Birthday? That's copywritten, you know. Did you make sure that she can't have, like, you know, aren't pillow fights and sleepovers, aren't they all copywritten and trademarked too? Better not issue any invitations with those words written on them. Happy Birthday, little girl. Fucking bullshit. She can't even sell her Girl Guide cookies. That stuff just makes me nuts. And, of course, in a bit of kind of different news, I was surprised and, to be honest, a little bit warmed by the sight that Advanced Dungeons & Dragons made its way into the news again with the Israeli Defense Force. Does the Israeli Defense Force believe that incoming recruits and soldiers who play Dungeons & Dragons are unfit for elite units? 18-year-olds who tell recruiters they play a popular fantasy game are automatically given a low-security clearance. They're detached from reality and susceptible to influence, the Army says. What does that mean, exactly? They're susceptible to influence. Isn't that, what do you want? People who aren't susceptible to influence? You want, like, closed-minded? Is that what's the opposite of susceptible to influence? They cannot be influenced? A security official says there are specific criteria for deciding the level of a soldier's security clearance. One of the tests we do, either by asking soldiers directly or through information provided to us, is ask them to take whether they take part in the game. If the soldier answers in the affirmative, he is sent to a professional for an evaluation, usually a psychologist. Oh, you play role-playing games? To the head shrink with you. More than half of the soldiers sent for evaluation receive low security clearances, thus presenting them from serving in the sensitive IDF positions, he says. Igor says exposing soldiers who play the game could result in soldiers being sent to a military psychologist or even being kept out of the army. Wow. Make your saving throw. Don't I get a saving throw for this? Exposing them could also harm their chances to being accepted into other military courses. Jesus Christ. Matan said he has personally met soldiers whose military career was harmed due to their connection to the game. Most soldiers who play Dungeons & Dragons simply do not admit it when they're in the army, he says. Thought crime. You know, these role-playing games, you know, they make you all funny thinking, they make you have crazy ideas. You know, even though the army teaches you tabletop wargaming as part of tactics and stuff. All over the world. Go see some officers doing tactics training. That's what they do. They do tabletop wargaming. That's exactly what they do. And I know it's weekly world news kind of stuff, but I just had to report on it because we got two-headed cats in the news. When Teresa Morrison's cat had a litter on Tuesday, she noticed something was different about one of the kittens. The kitten has two mouths, two noses, and four eyes. She immediately called her veterinarian. Holy fuck, my cat's going crazy. He said he's never seen it before. Never, Morrison said. The kitten is nursing from its mother, which the vet said is a good sign. Yes, she hasn't killed and eaten the mother or crawled back inside the uterus and possessed her body. She's feeding off the one mouth now. Sometimes she goes to the other one, but it's not getting the other mouth open. That's unfortunate. Maybe they can get surgery so it can meow with, like, both mouths. So it can go like, meow, 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 meow. That'd be cool. The vet told Morrison he didn't know if the cat has one or two brains, but having one brain would give the cat a better chance to survive. What if it had no brains? He said if the kitten lives 48 hours... he has a good chance of living a full adult life. Put that pussy on eBay. That's all I gotta say, man. You definitely want to put that cat on eBay. A two-headed cat on eBay, I'd buy it. Wogs would buy it. And we'd clone it, we'd make it bigger, and we'd use it to take over the world with our genetically engineered other two-headed cats and our giant mecha. And, of course, the United States has sent a new lovely to the UN as the ambassador. Now, there comes a point when we have to, you know, look back as the internet. Now, I know that I'm being heard in Belgium, Sweden, all over the world. Okay, guys, here's the deal. All right. All props aside, all borders aside, all bullshit aside, okay? No countries, no borders, no fuck all. All right. Are we going to unite under one banner? Okay? That's the big question. Are we going to unite? Is the world going to unite under one banner? Are we ever going to become like a one world government thing? Certain pros and cons. I think that it's important that we have unification because that's the only way we're ever going to get anything really fucking done. You know what I mean? But the problem is with unification is once you get everybody under one system, well, then the 1% who had the ruling money, it can either turn into, you know, this great, you know, drive to the stars, a la Star Trek, or it can turn into essentially global serfdom, which, unfortunately, I'm getting a little concerned that may be the case. So maybe we do have to say all, you know, little pockets and compete with each other to see who can get to the stars first. Makes for conflict, but maybe that's the only way it's going to work. But check this out. The U.S. is definitely not a big fan of the U.N. because you've got to see who they sent up there. The breathtaking victory for the right-wing warhawks, President George Bush has nominated a die-hard unilateralist to become the next ambassador to the United Nations. John Bolton is best known as one of the most confrontational, combative, and humorous figures within the administration, having earned his formidable reputation as the Undersecretary of State for Arms Control and International Security during Bush's first term. It's like putting the fox in charge of the hen house, says Heather Hamilton, Vice President of Programs for Citizen Global Solutions, formerly World Federalist Association. John Bolton says that he said John Bolton, Hamilton says, is the Armageddon nominee, alluding to the words of former Senator Jesse Helms, who once admirably described Bolton as the kind of man with whom I would want to stand at Armageddon if it should be my lot to be on the hand for what is forecast to be the final battle between good and evil in this world. Holy socio-political religious bullshit Batman. Bolton began his career-long battle with evil under Ronald Reagan in the 80s, when despite a notable lack of experience in developing countries, he was appointed as a series of posts in the U.S. Agency for International Development. The highlight of his Reagan years was, however, his tenure as one of the Attorney General Edwin Meese's top aides, which he spent stonewalling the congressional investigations into the Justice Department's role in the Iran-Contra affair, as well as efforts by Senator John Kerry to investigate drug and gun-running operation of the Nicaraguan Contras. And this guy is the new dude going to the UN. Now, you got to sit back and you got to ask yourself, is the UN a good idea? They're nutless. They're totally fucking nutless. They haven't done shit. But let's take it from the other way. What if the UN was, you know, doing the United States thing right now? What if the United Nations, what say, was running around doing the world police thing? How would we feel about the United Nations then? We'd be like, fuck you, United Nations. You got no sovereignty over us. That's exactly what we'd be doing. We'd be freaking out going, oh, the UN, the UN, UN. Now, in Texas, they're already going off about that. Oh, the United Nations is a bad idea. And they're talking about the Antichrist and the Maitreya and all sorts of evil shit. But realistically speaking, what is the plan here? Do we plan to actually get together under a one-world government? Because if we do, that has some problems. The plus column, if things go well, you know, we've got the Star Trek utopia and, you know, populate the universe kind of shit going on there. Which may be a little bit, that might be a little idealistic. That might be kind of Disney. Or we have the, you know, the total serfdom, 1% controlling all the other world. We're all in massive debt and huge inflation due, you know, the Federal Reserve, which incidentally is a private organization that isn't federal whatsoever. But regardless, you know, we all become wage slaves to a global economy, and, you know, there's your ruling class and you have your serfs, and that's it. Is that what we want? Because that's probably where it's going if we let in a one-world government. I hate to say that because I like the idea of a space system. I like the idea of, you know, going to the stars and the Star Trek world. I enjoy that, but I'm just trying to figure out how to make that possible. Maybe what's more likely is it's going to be up to those of us out there in the world to actually create an alliance, you know, be it a country, be it an organization, I don't know, be it a cult, be it a religion, be it whatever the fuck it is, some sort of an organization that is hell-bent on goals that puts goals ahead of themselves so they can, you know, do the benefit for mankind thing. Because unless we get some kind of unity going on, we're not going to achieve shit. Now, you can see this in your own life, right? Like, it's all well and good for me to sit out here and bitch about what goes on in the world. You know, I'm doing this to inform people as to what is happening so you can make educated and informed decisions. That's my goal here. But we do have to belong to something. We do have to put our efforts behind something. Otherwise, we're all on our own here. Well, we don't have to. I mean, yeah, sure. Okay, live your life and, you know, let me walk peaceably alone in the forest committing no sin like an elephant. You know, whatever. That's fine. But if we have any ideas for the advancement of mankind, is it not reasonable to think that we need to, you know, kind of get together on these issues? You know, don't we have to kind of work together to eradicate world slavery? Don't we have to work together to, you know, eradicate, you know, genocide in the Sudan? Don't we have to work together to get rid of, you know, pedophilia rings all throughout Thailand? Isn't that what we have to do? Or are we just going to rely on private military companies that we hope are, you know, benevolent and, you know, can go out there and just do vigilante justice? Is this what we're after? What's the solution here? You know, I think that honestly, the only way I can see the world really making it forwards is if we get some kind of a one world government. But that one world government has got to be, you know, the people have to make sure that we're not being dominated. We have to have like a libertarian one world government, if that makes any fucking sense. I don't know how the hell that would work. But, you know, it'd take a definite poli-sci guy to figure that one out. But, I mean, realistically, we do have to get behind something. If you're living in the United States and you got to get out of, you know, your situation because you're living in a small, shitty town, you got to weigh the odds. Do you join the army, you know, or do you stay at Walmart? These are shitty, shitty questions, and your life is on the line. But these are questions everyone's got to ask, even though people are going to war and stuff. You know, I mean, these are questions everybody had to ask. I had to ask myself that question. So I'm just saying that before we all start ripping the shit out of everybody's debates and ideas, and we all call down the war hawks and stuff like that, we have to ask ourselves, okay, do we want a one world government? If we do, do we want it to be one that is run by the United Nations, or do you want one that's run by America? Because obviously America wants to take over the world. Every country wants to take over the world. That's what countries do. They take over the world. That's why they exist. And to be in the American government, you have to have allegiance to America first, right? America uber alles. That's the whole idea here. This is what, you know, the whole concept is. This is why there's so much commerce and so much bullshit that goes on in the world, and everybody's trying to control everybody else. So you can either have a government controlling people, or you can have individuals controlling people. If you have individuals controlling people, that's when you're definitely going to get into, you know, these serfdom states and corporatical. So I prefer, rather than have corporations running the world, I'd rather have governments running the world. And of all the governments in the world, I only know of one that is founded upon ideals. That would be the United States government. Even Canada isn't founded on ideals. So what we need to do is take a good, hard look at the U.S. Constitution. Remember that that is the document which was designed for freedom and free government the world over. And what if we just kind of took the U.S. Constitution and enforced that around the world? Maybe there's a way we could do that versus, you know, core political interests. Government should not be complicated. Government should not be complicated. You should be able to explain any policy to a six-year-old. But they make it all crazy, so none of us know what the fuck's going on, and they hide it all in legalese. Something we have to check out. That's why we've got Hack the Vote, today's daily hack. Enron was a conspiracy theory, too. Were there whistleblowers and crackpots? Were there people who lost their retirements for those corporate legal criminals just sore losers? I've never been part of the tinfoil hat conspiracy crowd. I'm just a voter who happens to be a professional ID auditor. And this guy goes on to talk about how you can actually hack the vote. See how these black box voting systems are, in fact, bullshit. And once again, we've got to get this sorted out, and we got to make sure there's alerts to this, because in another few years, George's brother is going to be in charge of the company. The guy who's currently running Florida, I bet you he's the next president. Fuck, I'll call it now. And that's all I got for you today, but don't worry, I will be back tomorrow to make sure you get the news you need to stay alive. This is a free broadcast brought to you by the generous donations of Anonymous, Topak, Jesse, The Grey Ghost, Drake, Anthony, Robert, Dual Parallel, Anonymous, Michael, Andrea, Derek, Jesse, Susan, Eric, Tech Freak, Keith, Malcolm, Peter, Four Leet, Timor, Peter, Oh, I screwed it up. Peter, there we are. Plasmatic Grin, Christopher, Rosalie, Richard, Matt, Greg, WebLife, Evan, David, Brian, Austin, Brian, Jonathan, Adam, Host Mojo, Mainframe, Mark, Jonathan, Trevor, Brandon, Helgon, Art, Diremude, Brandon, Justin, Matthew, Lars, Eric, Anonymous, Jason, and new subscribers this month were Kevin, Steve, Philip, Steve, Charles, Matt, Brandon, Kevin, and Mark. Thank you so much. And if you would like to help keep this daily news broadcast on the air, please visit rantmedia.ca. Special thanks to the Hard Netrunners who brought us this information. Astrofix, Sylvanus, Polysci, Bonsai, Poppy, Ricky Rocket, Foulware, Psychofish, No Delete, People Tree, Duel, Madar, Wyandi, Tech Freak, Nyx, Roto, Paradin, Malkizdek, and Visage. Digital Baptisms today is Nopex Inside is now Wireflyer. Online Amish's car is now the Recce Sled, and Exosk is now the Bugler. Upcoming events, I've got nothing for you, but if you know of some kind of, you know, worldwide events people can take part in, send them to me, I'd like to know. And special thanks to everyone for their assistance in gathering data. If I missed you, if you have access to sensitive information or any other pertinent stories, please email them to Newsreel, that's N-E-W-S-R-E-A-L, at rantradio.com. And if you like the music in the background, check out the album Genuine American Monster by Pig. I saw these guys in concert. They're very cool. If you like KMFDM, you'll like them. And until tomorrow, that's what server said. End of line.
Your cell phone, your round, your time, your ideas. No barcode, no party, no ID, no beers. Your bank card, your license, your thoughts, your fears. No SIM card, no disco, no photo, not here. Your blood, your sweat, your passions, your regrets, your profits, your time off, your fashions, your sex, your pills, your grass, your tits, your ass, your laughs, your balls. We want
to plug your soul.
Your fats, your fears. Give us your address, your shoe size, your ears, your digits, your plans, your number, your eyes, your schedule, your desktop, your details, your life. Show us your children, your photos, your home. Here, take credit, take insurance, take a loan. Get a job, get a pension, get a haircut, get a suit. Play the lottery, play football, play the field, or some toot. We'll show you dream, we'll show you sleep, we'll buy you dream, we'll pay your bill. We'll sell you crap, we'll charge you debt. Wanna buy big guns in the front of cash?
We want your
your checkbook, your essence, your sweat, your screams, your security, your sobriety, your innocence, your society, yourself, your place, your distance, your space.
Go back to bed, America. Your government is in control again. Here, watch this. Shut up. You are free to do as we tell you. You are free to do as we tell you.
Here's Britney, here's cola, here's pizza, here's TV, here's some rock, and some roller. Watch commercials, more commercials, watch Jerry, not Oprah. Buy a better life, from the comfort of your sofa. Here's popcorn, here's magazines, here's milkshake, here's blue jeans, here's padded bars, here's armpit dry, here's football shirt, here's baseball cap, here's live talk shows, here's video game, here's go alive, here's Tim Morley, here's filter tips, here's college minutes, here's all night long, here's plastic.
Go back to bed, America. Your government is in control again. Here's American Gladiators. Watch this. Shut up. Go back to bed, America. Here is American Gladiators. Here is 56 channels of it. Watch these pituary retards bang their fucking skulls together and congratulate you on living in the land of freedom. Here you go, America. You are free to do as we tell you. You are free to do as we tell you.
No skaters, no tweakers, no truth, no sun.
Your soul.